Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, everybody. This is the unofficial, unauthorized, unapproved, unmutual, unofficial union meeting. This meeting is being called to order. Contract expired 8 months ago. Did you know? A pandemic started. Flagmen still don't have family health insurance. CSAs are still, after almost 8 years, receiving no dental. Not in the pension, and being told, just go flagging, you lazy bum. That's right, that's what we hear from everyone, including some of our own union officers. Some, not all. Pandemic. Excuses after excuse, why we cannot demand the decency of a hazard pay, cleaner working conditions for our passengers and ourselves. Nope, can't demand anything. There's a no-strike clause in the contract, you know. Have you read it? Oh, no, but I just know it exists. Well, I've read it, and I haven't seen the no-strike clause. What are you talking about? You can't even picket? It doesn't say a no-picket clause. But there certainly is a no-strike clause, and it does not exist. It just does not exist. Some say it did. That's fine, but it's not there now. And even if there was, that doesn't mean on your days off that you can't exercise freedom of speech and not block the thoroughfare for the passengers. This is the law. So you just organize it yourself and you ask the union president and the officers to join you. Hopefully they'll say, go for it. Let's make it happen. Unfortunately, it hasn't been that way. They just say, no. It's unauthorized. Unofficial, you cannot do it. It will mean people will get fired and lose their jobs. That is not what a union says. That's what a management side of the company should be saying, because it is in their interest to keep everything running smooth and making sure everybody at least appears to be happy. Next week, Tuesday, is the union meeting for Local 308. Unfortunately, Local 241 still doesn't have union meetings. Come on, people! 241 members, it's time for you to demand that President Keith Hill reinstitute meetings, preferably virtual mass meetings, with all your voting privileges. The union members must be allowed to direct their unions. It is the year 2020, not 1920. Alert, this is the year 2020. It is not 1920. We can have meetings. I see we got a caller on hold. We'll get right to you. Thanks. We need coworkers, people who care. And even those who don't really care, but you know you care. You just say that because it's a coping mechanism, because you have constantly been disappointed. And the only way to keep from throwing something or going off, losing your self-control, is to just say, that's the way it is. It will never change. And of course, we know that is not how change comes about. We need coworkers to go to this union meeting, Local 308. If you're not in Local 308, you're in 241 or something, you can come and visit. You're in ATU. You're in good standing. You just won't have a vote. Members, coworkers, let's go. We need coworkers to go and propose motions. We've got a list of motions, Sister Kathy, me. Let's see, everybody's name, a bunch of us went through these, Brother Templeton, Sister Tracy, Ashley, and Hector, we went through these, and I want you to send a text message to the Justice Coalition, and we will send you a list of motions. You pick a motion, and then we will second your motion. What are you talking about, a motion? That's how we get union business moving. So at the union meeting, get there nice and early. So when it starts at 6:30, we can introduce a motion to put what's called new business on top of the agenda. That way we'll have a captive audience. Hopefully there'll be enough of us there to do that. If not, we'll just wait till the end. But let's just be optimistic. You bring up your motion, for example, you don't want punishment for not wearing a mask. The members shouldn't be punished for not wearing a mask if they forget to wear a mask. We shouldn't be punished, because before, some of us were being punished for wearing a mask. So come on, give us a break. We don't want to spread nothing or catch nothing. We just forget sometimes. We're not perfect. And beating people doesn't make them perfect. Beating people is not teaching people. You have to teach people. And how do you learn? Repetition. And it takes patient people to be repetitive. So send a text message to the Justice Coalition, 224-935-3075, 224-935-3075, and we'll send you a list. You go ahead and pick from that list, change it as you see fit, add to it, and just come to the meeting and say, hey, come on, let's do this. Let's back each other up, because you're going to propose it as a motion. You say, okay, I pass a motion. I want to propose a motion for such and such. And then me or someone else will say, I second that. And then the president, if he's being honorable, will say, let's take a vote. That's how it works. Real quick, here's some motions that we have. And if you want to call in, the show call in is 515-605-9885, 515-605-9885. You can call in live, 515-605-9885. Real quick, here's what we got so far. The CTA must restart contract negotiations with 241 and 308 now. Also, revised bargaining rules must include members as official observers who will report to the members. These observers must be nominated and elected by the members. Number two, no punishment for not wearing a mask. Number three, we demand hazard pay and the funding to hire and equip more union workers to clean the system. Number four, all apprentices who've worked more than 6 months must be turned over to full time. This could be a contract issue. Fine, but we still need to make demands. It's enough. You're an apprentice. My God, 6 months You came to work. You did your job. You're not drunk. You deserve full time. You're not a criminal, a savage, an automaton, a piece of garbage. That's some real nasty work you got to do. Bus and car service apprentices and janitors. Get your full time on. Next one. All empty CSR positions must be filled now. The limited number is pitting CSRs versus CSAs. Local 308 must empower CSAs and other members to organize for public action for the phasing out of all part-time positions over the term of the next contract and merge them into more CSR positions. This should include a new full-time combined position that includes conductor and customer assistant duties. Next one, no more subcontracting for trains and facilities. Hire full-time union workers. No more ridership updates from operators. This is distracting and not part of our job description. Next, union meetings must be virtual and accessible for all members. And the next after that is union officers must endorse and support a public member-created contract. Members need a contract they will fight for. Not a contract that the CTA or the politicians will accept, because what they accept saves money. That's great. Save your money. But unions don't save money. Unions improve working conditions and quality of life so that human beings can build up communities and make them strong. Okay, so if you like any of those motions and you want to bring them to the union meeting and you want me to send you the language so then you can read it that way, or you can add to it or change it as you see fit, send us a text message at 224-935-3075. Don't all call at once. All right. Let's go to my guest host, and I am talking to you.
Hey, good
is this
afternoon.
Kathy?
Yes.
How you doing,
me,
Kathy? How you doing, Sister Kathy?
I'm good. I'm good, Eric. How about you?
Oh, just great. I'm so excited. We got people in our little group, our little group, to give feedback on these motions we were discussing the other day.
They're good motions.
Yeah. So it's a lot. So we're gonna need, you know, a little more participation than usual.
Yeah. Well, so when is the union meeting?
So it's going to be September 8th, Tuesday. At the union office at 11204 Southwestern, just down the street from you in the north side there.
Yeah. Well, I hope more people will come to the meeting.
Yes. Yes. I think in this case it's very important.
Yeah. Well, also, you could post these motions. Well, you did post them. I guess just repost them. Oh, maybe create a nice graphic or something. And if you can, I don't know how to do that type of stuff. And we could post it all on all the pages.
Yes, there's, I wanted to get, you know, this, just some additional feedback from our group before we post it out to everybody. And we got that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's time to do that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't see how any workers would. Why would anybody disagree with these things, with these demands? But
yes,
they will.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. You know, we'll have some union officers that will disagree with it for sure.
Right, and some of their crazy supporters.
Right. Well, they're not crazy. We don't want to say that. We just want to say that they have been brainwashed. They've been brainwashed.
Yeah.
That's all. They've been brainwashed with unsafe materials. So we're gonna wash with some plain old harmless soap and water to clean all that toxin out.
Hey, I got a question for you about the restart contract negotiations. Did the CTA stop the negotiations because of the pandemic, or did the union stop it, or is there some other reason why they stopped the negotiations?
We were told at the March and the July. No, yeah, I won't say the March, but we were told at the July meeting that yes, the CTA is not going to do it because of the pandemic, you know. So I guess that's okay.
Well, I guess what they could do it virtually. They could do it on Zoom or something, or some closed meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, you know, because they're all meeting with that. Even the executive boards of our unions, 241 and 308, they meet with Zoom. So what's the problem with meeting with us on Zoom? Are we, are we just garbage or something?
They don't want us to know anything. They just don't want us to know anything.
Yeah. It's a secret.
Yeah, the city.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the city council meets on Zoom also, so there's no reason that they can't do those negotiations on Zoom.
Oh, and I'm glad you said that. The board of directors for the Chicago Transit Authority also meets virtually, and they have public sessions, so most of their meetings are public, and then they have an executive session, so they'll stop the public meeting for whatever amount of time. They'll go into executive session, they'll come back and finish the public meeting, and they've been doing it like remotely,
right,
and all kinds of stuff, but for us it's no, everything's no.
Yeah, and I put something on Facebook. I don't know. It was something Bob Kelly had said, and I don't know how true it is, and maybe you can find out about, they said that the international has some kind of a rule against the locals having meetings on virtual meetings. Well, that was before the pandemic, though, but that might not even be true. It shouldn't be true because the board's meeting, so why can't the members meet?
Yeah. Yeah, because what's good for them is good for us, don't you think?
I do. And the meeting can be password protected and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, because they're going to, oh, we don't want anybody to find out about it. Find out what? Find out what? That you're a bunch of clowns? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, what, they're going to find out oh my God, we're spending $3,000 on a softball tournament.
Right.
Man, if the CTA or the mayor finds out we're spending money on softball, man, we're not going to be able to negotiate a good contract, you know, because they're going to say, hey, man, you know, you guys are happy playing softball.
Right.
And I watched your debate. I love what you were posting, though, because you were posting that the members have to meet. They can do their own meetings, you know.
Right.
And you know, you were getting this pushback, and I said, yeah, but you can't just negotiate with a few people, you know, you have to have meet. And they missed the point that the real negotiations are on the street.
Well,
you know, I mean, whatever CTU accomplished, it was really done through their actions. It wasn't done through their secret meeting. Right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, And when I hear from people who've been here longer than me, and they talk about, oh, we have we asked for this or we wanted that, but they went into a meeting and they talked to them about it and said they couldn't get it, but they could get something else. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, what, you know, how do you even know that's true?
That last sentence is right on. How do we even know that's true? I don't believe the union asked for what the members want them to ask for. I believe it's those lawyers and the company, and they work out what they want, and the union says, okay, whatever you say.
You know what's interesting about that, what you said, is that I listen carefully. Now, for over 2 years, I've heard them respond to radical, it's not even radical, it's just like, just revolutionary union, what union is supposed to be. And their response is, they're not going to give us that. They're not going to accept that.
Right.
They're not going to do this. They're not, they this and they that. And I'm thinking, what? How is that an approach to anything? You don't even try. And then when you do try, your attitude is, well, they're not going to accept it anyways. You know, well, let them reject it, and then you take action. You know, you say, wait a minute now, we want this.
Right.
You know? I mean,
right.
If
they're not. Go ahead.
I mean, we want $100, right? So we go ask them, give me $200. They say, oh, my God, we can't give you that. Well, what can you give us? They okay, we'll give you, like, $115. Fine.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, you know, but it doesn't even work that way. They don't give us anything.
Right.
They don't give anything good. They only
nobody.
Take. Exactly.
And you know what? That's what good corporate financial officers, corporate executive officers do, is they save money. They save the shareholders'
mm-hmm.
money. We don't have shareholders, okay? But we have budgets and we have people that get bonuses, you know? And if they can cut the costs by any means necessary, and we let them do it, which we do, they win. They have to.
Right.
I mean, if I was the mayor, I wouldn't want any president of my transit company, whatever public transit is, to be giving the union anything, frankly, because as a mayor,
right.
you're managing the money. You got to cut, you know?
Right. And that's what they do. And one thing that the union is so blatantly not looking for facts. How much money has the ATU saved the CTA in the last 8 years or the last 10 years or the last 20 years? How much money have they saved the CTA? A lot of money. And then for right now during this pandemic, so the city budget is in a big, huge frickin' hole, but somebody's getting rich. Somebody's getting rich, because we already know that Bezos and Zuckerberg and some of these other millionaires and billionaires and now trillionaires, they're making money hand over fist. There's got to be people in Chicago, the banks. But anyway, the union could find that shit out. They could hire some researchers, but they won't. They won't.
It's messed up priorities. And you know the city's going to get a TIF windfall. So all these TIFs are expiring. So the city's going to have cash. You know, it's not going to be a great, but it's going to be billions. So, you know, when people argue with me, well, so we need more than a billion. Well, look, are we going to be fighting? Are we going to be saying, hey, we need some of that money. Give it to us. You know, because other people are going to be doing it.
Right.
You know,
right.
You got to fight. You got to speak up, you know, but by the way, I looked up in the International Constitution, and we just got like 5 minutes left on live, and then it's going to switch to a record. You know, we can go another 10 minutes.
Okay.
But should I read this? It's just like
sure.
a couple short paragraphs. Should I read this, Kathy? So the international, because you said former President Kelly, right, was saying
right.
this, right? So let's see what the international says. So I've got the 2016 Constitution. It says each local union shall hold at least one regular, look at this, at least one regular meeting each month where a full report of the work of all officers, committees, and executive boards shall be made. In the event no meeting is held for lack of a quorum, all actions of the executive board, which would have been reported to the membership at that meeting, shall become final and binding upon the local without further action by the membership. A local may, under special and justifiable circumstances, omit the regular meeting if excused by the international president. In the event the international president, that would be Costa, John Costa, in the event he grants such excuse and no other meeting is held during the month in the area in which the meeting is normally held, all members of the local shall be granted credit for attendance of the meeting for the purpose of eligibility for office where and if applicable pursuant to Section 14 of this Constitution. So that's a slightly different subject, but I did want to add that that's good to know. So the members know that they're all getting credit for these canceled meetings if they want to run for office. So anybody, we've had almost 6 months of no meetings. So this is good for the members.
Okay.
If that makes me wonder, is that why we're having meetings now, right? So that all of a sudden people can't be eligible to run. I don't know. Maybe not. The regular meetings of a local shall be held at a time deemed most convenient to the membership and held at regular stated intervals so the entire membership may be acquainted with the date and hour that regular meetings are scheduled to be held. If there are questions of any kind calling for a vote for the entire membership, such as agreements, wage disputes, or other questions of like importance, there can be arranged for such occasions either an early, late, or general meeting at some hour when the membership can best attend. Meetings are held at the headquarters of the local or the charter city each month shall be construed as being in compliance with the initial paragraph of this subsection, whatever that meant. Meetings over the entire local jurisdiction shall be held at such times later in the month subsequent to charter meeting in places as the local may determine by a majority vote. So we could have a majority vote and have a meeting somewhere else. And to me, that's the internet. That's a place. Business conducted. Yeah. So business conducted at the headquarters or charter city meeting shall be presented to meetings held throughout the jurisdiction of the local for their approval. Just so you know, everyone who's listening, we're about to go off the air, but the recording is going to keep recording. So around 5 o'clock, around 4:45, 5 p.m., you'll be able to listen to the extra bonus content that you missed. All right. So the charter meeting and the establishment of a quorum at such meetings shall be cumulative. The charter meeting shall be held regardless of the number of members present, and all actions of that meeting shall be reported to and acted upon by the subsequent sessions. If the total attendance at all sessions does not constitute a quorum, then the business conducted at the charter meeting shall be considered null and void. However, in the event no quorum is achieved, all actions of the executive board, which would have been reported to the membership, shall be final and binding upon the local. Any action taken or motion initiated by any session other than the charter meeting, whether or not quorum is present, shall be referred to the next monthly charter meeting. Okay, I didn't hear anything that we couldn't do meetings online.
Well, good. So we'll see what they say, but they're not going to want to do it, but people should try to push them to do it because people want those meetings.
Yeah, everybody does. It's so amazing how many members want these common sense you know, solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's and then whenever the polls get real popular, whenever if I put a poll out, we put a poll out and it gets real popular, it's like in the 90 percentile range, people want these simple changes, you know, these common sense changes.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, but I don't think they.
Go ahead. Please.
I don't think. Okay. I don't think they really want people to be involved. Otherwise, they would be doing stuff to get people involved. You know, real stuff.
Yeah. 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 It's funny. We get this, you know, we have an ATU text messaging app or something, you know, and that you can get text messages, and we rarely get text messages about meetings, you know. It's
right.
Rare. But we get text messages about, you know, voting for some president or something, you know.
Right.
Or some government.
And insurance.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Insurance. I found something interesting I wanted to read and see what you think about this. So this is about organizing your workplace. And it says, your workplace may feel like a disorganized mess, but the truth is you're not starting from zero. There's organization there already, though it might not have anything to do with the union. Are there carpools, family ties? A rumor mill? If John didn't show up for his shift, who would have his number and call him up to find out if he was okay? If Monique came out of the supervisor's office in tears, who would meet her in the break room and give her a hug and ask what happened? People are social creatures who form bonds anywhere we go, but it's especially true in a workplace where we're under pressure and relying on each other to get things done. We get to know each other's strengths and weaknesses and size up who we can trust. We figure out ways to pass around news. So your next task is to find and build on the organization that's already there. First, you need to map out the existing networks, and then you can knit them together into a union network. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's kind of like that common sense type of stuff. It is true. There's organization. People have relationships with each other, deep friendships, and they know each other's families. And, the working class knows how to organize. People know how to organize. It's just that people are not won to organizing to come to some union official events. That's a problem. And
yeah.
They don't believe, I think people don't believe that we can win by fighting back, yeah. So.
Yeah.
But you're doing a good job, Eric.
We are. We're doing our best, you know. You're a big part of that. And the messages you're putting out there on Facebook, you know, you're annoying messages that people want to dismiss, it's so important for us to stay on message, you know. I mean, we've got to put forth the ideals, and we got to stop believing that people who run companies and governments want us to have a dignified life where we can, you know, even save some money and go maybe buy a house, go take a vacation with the family. You know what I mean? It's all about, you know, profits, you know, or squeezing, getting by.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we were discussing, when you have a majority non-white workforce,
mm-hmm.
especially in the United States, Black and Latino, it's very easy to get into the rut of, well, you know, that's the best we can do because, you know, they don't come to work and they don't care. They're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cringe at some of the stuff I hear my coworkers say about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I enjoy it when they say stuff about me because it's funny, and it just puts more attention on the message that I'm trying to bring. But mm-hmm. but I'm talking about, you know the pathologization, you know, pathologizing people, like mm-hmm. for example, the CSAs, the CSAs, they're garbage. I've heard that said. They're
mm-hmm.
worthless. They're lazy. You know.
Mhm. Mhm.
And their sentiment comes out of something real, right? Of a perception, because maybe as a train operator or some other, you know, worker, they had an encounter where a CSA was not available to do the job for whatever reason. But you don't condemn everybody that's in that job, you know.
Right. Mhm.
You know,
I also think there's a lot of sexism involved too, because aren't the CSAs mostly women?
Yeah, in fact, I'd say even operators might be 50, at least 50%.
Right.
And they get talked about pretty bad too.
Right. So That's a big impediment, obstacle for organizing. But I think that it's the right time because of what's happening across the country. It's the right time, I think, to focus in on how racism has played such a huge role in the losses that 241 and 308 have experienced over the decades. You know, the loss of wages, of full-time jobs, of benefits and rights. And, you know, I just think that somehow we got to win people to that. It could be the spark that gets people more involved. Because everybody's talking about racism more today than before.
Yeah. And the whole moniker Black Lives Matter,
right,
is actually very relevant. You know, it's very relevant mm-hmm. to us. You know, because within yeah. that, you know, you also have other so-called minorities that have been disenfranchised, Latino,
mm-hmm.
Native American, you know, but pretty much you can take that as well and deal with white people, Asian people, people of anything, mm-hmm. especially lighter skin, who are just having a hard time getting
right.
out of poverty, you know.
Right.
And yeah. And then how disease makes it worse, you know. It's like
mm-hmm.
now you're sick, so now they say, well, you got COVID-19 because you got diabetes. You shouldn't have been so fat,
right?
You know, and I mean, okay, so where does this fat person live that got diabetes and is dying of COVID-19? They happen to be a CSA or something, right?
Right.
You know, whatever, a part timer. Who's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And they got nothing. They got no dental, so they can't take care of the teeth, which is a source of disease. If you can't take
right.
care of your teeth, you can't go to a dentist. You don't have dental, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all kinds of things, and it's just like it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time, but I think we can do it if we convince the members that
mm-hmm.
to show them that they can try. And I think once they see themselves doing something, I think it's going to be a snowball effect.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right. Once it finally gets moving, it's going to be hard to stop it.
Yeah. And I experienced that, you know, the little pickets that we did, you know, over the past year, the unofficial pickets
mm-hmm.
that the union officers wouldn't support. And I was like, oh boy, I did them while I was part time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mm-hmm. thinking, well, I might not get full time, you know. My wife was very worried, you know, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
I made it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, made some people angry, but hey, and you were part of the last picket we did, so you were there.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was a bad weather day.
That was some terrible weather. But we did it. We did it, right?
Yep.
We did it.
And we could do it again.
Oh, yeah. You know, we got to. I can't wait for us to get the contract done, the unofficial contract, and get through this silly election and the bylaws that the bylaw proposals that we submitted. You know, that'll be a big obstacle because, you know, if we get this workers' contract together, Kathy, and the members are a part of this contract. This is the members. This is the workers' contract. We'll have something we can fight for, you know.
Right.
And we could pester the hell out of the union officers to say, hey, this is what we want. We don't want what you want. We don't want what the lawyers want.
Mm-hmm.
We want this.
Right.
And we got to fight for it, you know?
Right. We just got to win the members to fight and to believe we can win. Oh, I wish Tom would have called in. I thought last time, was it him who said that we should become one local? Yes.
Yes.
I think that's really such a good idea. And even though 241 has more members, so what? They're not our enemy. They've been more militant than 308 historically. So, you know.
Yes.
People
they,
don't
I
go
tell
ahead.
You. Oh,
go.
Wow.
Go ahead.
We have to. We have to. And I think the contract is key, too. You know, when we work together on the contract, like I
mm-hmm.
noticed when I talk to people on the bus side, you know, about what we're doing and I try to get ideas, you know, items, I'll tell them, hey, what do you think of this
mm-hmm.
and what do you think of that? You know, and sometimes I even tell them, hey, did you know you got this provision in the contract for such and such? And they said, no, I didn't know.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating, too, about the way the union goes about, you know, handing out the five paragraphs. This is the new TA. You know, I mean, well, it's more than five paragraphs, but not much more. You know, and it's not explained. And that lion ass Ken Franklin, he said that he was going to put it out in non-legalese, to put it out in language that everybody can understand, but he didn't. And that's something people, we need that. We need to get people to discuss the TA before they vote on it, which they don't, a lot of people don't even read the damn thing. So. Oh.
Yeah, it's tragic. It's tragic. That TA is clearly written by lawyers, and it's written in a way to convince us to vote for it. It's not. There's no pros and cons about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we just got to write our own. But the show is just about over, so we got like 30 seconds. Is there anything you'd like to add?
So, just to say I hope I haven't been too crabby. I know I was insulting some of the union officials, but I guess I don't care about that. But I'm sorry if I was crabby.
Oh, keep being yourself.
Okay.
Keep being yourself. No apologies needed. And hey,
okay.
If that's what you do and I do it different, it doesn't matter because we know we're fighting for the same cause.
Right. Right.
Well,
all
right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay. You and too, Eric.
Everybody, thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is the show, and it's over.
Bye.
Bye.